listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 248 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb, and Sean Orford. How are you, Sean?
I'm very good.
Life's good, isn't it?
Very good, it is good.
You're on some kind of diet, aren't you?
Or I'm on a fast.
We're all on a diet, but you're on an extreme.
I'm on a fast.
Yeah.
So I'm not eating anything solid at the moment. I've just got I got four of these.
Four big containers of honey and water, is it?
It's honey, water and lemon.
What's that ball in the middle, rolling around?
That's just so you can shake it up and down.
Oh, right, okay. Just for the fun of it.
It's a mix.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, it's not entertaining.
So you're going to do that for a week? Mm. Honey and water for a week, five days?
Yeah.
With the goal of losing weight or flushing your system?
Flushing my system.
Do you take I'm quite interested in all this stuff. Do you take any indicate, like, blood? Do you do a blood test or anything like that, or do you just kind of go on how you're feeling?
No, because I've been doing it over so many years.
Blood pressure, you check your blood pressure quite
regularly. Yeah, I'll be doing that. See that come down quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
No caffeine, no alcohol, no additives at all. So just honey, water, and lemon.
Okay.
And it flushes your system. I've started to add a few herbs in, and there's a clay that I use called bentonite.
Clay,
yeah. Which you just pop in some of the drinks. So it's a good session. So what you do is, the first thing in the morning is you start off with a quart of saline, warm saline.
A quart? What's that?
Two pints.
Okay.
Of saline.
And run for a furlong or something like that. Go on. Yeah, carry on.
So two pints of saline, which is at the same pH as your blood, so you don't take it in. You're not absorbing the salt into your system. But what it does is it flushes you right the way through. So once you've done it for a couple of days, when you drink that in first thing in the morning, within 40 minutes, it's come through you.
Oh, okay.
So you're actually cleaning out your
pretty
system.
Pretty quick process then. Okay. Yeah. You can spare us the gory details, but...
And I won't give you any photographs.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm sure there's plenty of stuff online where folks can do this. But check with your doctor or your nutritionist first of all, etc.
Always. I mean, I do this kind of stuff because I'm used to doing it. I've done it over many, many years. So to me, it's not an issue. And the thing about because I'm not eating any solids and I'm just doing the honey, water, and lemon, because I'm used to that sensation. If I'm feeling hungry, I just go and drink some more.
Yeah.
So that the sugar and the honey.
Okay.
Keep sugar levels.
All right. Well, next week we'll see how you got on, and
if you're able to see me, I'll be so slim.
Have a little listen between this and next week, and see if he sounds any more energetic or bouncy.
Woo!
Or who knows what. We're actually talking this week about focus, about concentration, repetitive behaviour, that kind of thing. And we had a listener email. We'll come on to that in a bit. Liveinthepresent.co.uk is the website I was supposed to mention a couple of minutes ago. Take a look at it for all the previous episodes, loads of resources on there. Stick your email address in the box and we'll send you alerts for the podcast.
And what have you been doing?
Oh, what have I been doing?
Yeah.
Food-wise?
No, life-wise.
What do you mean?
Since the last time we recorded.
What have I been doing?
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't even come on to that. Yeah, give me a sec, man, I'm in charge. I know what I'm doing.
Come on, really.
Yeah, check out the website. I've been up to all sorts. It doesn't say anything on there because I've got to write it, but I'm doing this vegetarian diet for Lent still, so I'm probably three or four weeks into that.
So how are you feeling?
It's hard to quantify because I haven't got any data to back it up, but I feel better, I think. I feel lighter, and I have lost a bit of weight, only a couple of pounds because I'm only little, but I definitely have lost weight, and I feel more energetic, just like I'm not carrying as much kind of weight inside me. Sometimes when you have a big lump of meat in your stomach, it can kind of you can feel it sitting there, can't you?
The other thing is we don't realise how much of our energy it takes to digest food. And if you're eating heavy foods, it takes a lot of your energy in your body to digest it.
So I wish I'd done maybe a blood test beforehand and after, or just some way I could kind of quantify.
Because for you, it would be cholesterol, wouldn't it?
Cholesterol, yeah. I still will get a blood test afterwards, because I haven't had one for probably a year, a cholesterol test.
Yeah.
But get one done just see how it's looking. So that's been, but I mean, the main thing is that it's just, it's been really easy in terms of, like, from a practical point of view, you know, eating out, that kind of thing. There's been a couple of occasions when I've eaten at family or friends' places and they haven't known in advance that I'm vegetarian for Lent, at least, perhaps longer, where I've just had to kind of politely dodge around things. But generally pretty easy. So the main rule about my vegetarian experiment is that it's been dead easy.
And what about the rest of the family?
Yeah, Bethan's tagged along. She's been fine, actually. We've been getting into Quorn, the Quorn side of things, because they do some really nice meals, which are kind of meat replacement stuff, aren't they? Dropped me chalk. she's been game for it. I have kind of hinted that I would like to take it further. Mm-hmm. She's kind of looked at me in a funny kind of way. I think we could. Quite easily, really. The boys they eat a lot of pasta and stuff that you can do that wouldn't have meat in anyway, but they are addicted to sausages, like my lads, so, and they can tell a vegetarian sausage is not the same. Unless you've got any recommendations for it.
I don't know. Have you tried any of the cauldron ones?
I don't think so.
Try those.
No. Yeah, it's getting there. It's good fun, enjoying it. Right, let's get on with this week's show. Actually, no. Before I do, there's something. We got a letter, didn't we?
We did.
From California.
California.
No less. Lovely
here
little card.
Is that beautiful writing, isn't it?
Lovely handwriting, I must say. And it's.
Sophia.
Oh, we got a return address. Okay, yeah. Won't read that out. We'll have to send a letter back. But she's a long time listener, or a year and a half. She sent us a lovely letter saying how much she appreciates our work and.
Yeah.
We appreciate this letter, don't we?
She said that she laughed at us.
Yeah, she laughs. And she hates Trump as well, so it's all right, man. So, no, thanks so much for the card. Fantastic.
I love the card. I love it.
Yeah, very cute, isn't it?
Very well done
on the handwriting, man. Very impressive.
Yeah, very, very, very.
We also had another an email from a listener, Angela, who asked us to discuss a topic, and that topic was... Well, repetitive behaviour, but we're going to classify it in a slightly different way. We're going to talk about concentration and focus, because Angela's problem was...
Yep.
So, say she's meditating, using Headspace, she's finding herself drifting off and thinking of other things. Didn't say exactly what. And then she's having to rewind and start again. And same with TV, she'll kind of drift away watching Coronation Street and Neighbours, she mentioned. And she'd have to rewind and start... Or, you know, go back a bit and see what she's missed. If it's Neighbours, probably not that much, to be honest. Though I did watch Neighbours religiously for, like, 15 years, probably, so...
What a confession. On air.
So how do we... We're not talking about... Are we talking about OCD with Angela in particular here, or kind of...
I guess the place to start with is everybody's mind wanders.
Yeah.
That's the nature of the beast.
Big time, man. Since I was a kid, I was always that kid in class who would... start off kind of concentrating in the lesson, and then I'd drift away, and then the teacher would turn to me and ask me a question, and I wouldn't have a clue where he was up to.
Yeah.
I'd kind of look around for help.
Yeah. If you think about... we got autism on the list here to talk about, but it's like when someone is autistic, they can't stop concentrating on something. So they get a bit of an OCD.
Right.
You might find someone... with extremes on that spectrum, who can memorise everything that's in a telephone directory and can tell you what page someone's number's on.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. Because their ability to concentrate is so refined, which is why a lot of people that are doing programming and digital work are on the autistic spectrum, and they really work into their strengths, which is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The issue about does your mind wander... Well, anybody who's creative has a wandering mind. I mean, I would see you as a creative, but it's in daydreaming what other people would see as daydreaming.
See, I'm staring into the abyss right now, actually, staring at that bottle, but not thinking about anything in particular.
But that could be like meditation, couldn't it? You're focusing on the bottle.
Yeah, Angela didn't say in her email exactly what she was thinking of when she was drifting away, so I guess we need to, well, cover a couple of bases. One, if she's just thinking of nothing in particular and she's wandering away... whilst meditating, maybe that's not such a bad thing. Maybe that's the goal of meditation?
That's normal. But you know what happens is, you focus on whatever your point of focus is, which could be a thing, like you focusing on the bottle. It could be a sound, or it could be your breath or your body, whatever it is that you're focusing on. And all the time, your mind will keep interfering, will come in.
Yeah.
So, and what you do is, you don't try to quieten the mind or shut the mind up. You observe the mind, you let it go, you come back to the concentration. You observe the mind, you let it go, you come back to the concentration. And after a little while, you can hold your concentration without your mind wandering so much.
Okay.
Yeah. But if I sit down and do an hour's meditation, probably 40 minutes of that is focused meditation. The other 20 is my mind interfering.
Yeah, okay.
So that might be all kinds of things about memories, thoughts, desires, ambitions, worries, concerns, whatever that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I suppose that the difference when you're looking at stuff like that, if your mind is wandering generally and wandering to all kinds of things, so you might go, oh, that's interesting, as it wanders off.
Yep.
That's okay. If you find yourself ruminating on the same stuff over and over again, that usually means therapy. You need to do something about
it. Yeah, which is my second point. So your mind is wandering during meditation and you're constantly thinking about, I don't know, some kind of financial issues, an issue with someone in your family or health, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Maybe you're worrying about why you're worrying or worrying about why you've got this repetitive behaviour.
Yeah.
She did mention at the bottom of the email that anxiety has been an issue in the past, not so much now.
Yeah.
But that's when a bit of therapy might be needed, eh?
Yeah, and I think that it's the thing about if the things that you are appearing in your mind is the same things over and over again, you need to do something about it.
Yeah.
Or if they're extreme, if you find yourself murdering people, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. We live in Britain, at least. We kind of live in this society where daydreaming isn't tolerated that well, is it? If you're in school, obviously, and your teacher catches you daydreaming, you're in trouble. If you're at work and you're staring wistfully out the window, thinking of, you might be solving a problem to do with your work, but still, your management or your colleagues will kind of look at you and they might say something or just think, what's he doing? Get back to work. Whereas there are other parts of the world, I've seen a Japanese analogy on this, where a person in Japan working but staring out the window is considered to be working, whereas in the UK, maybe the States as well, it's considered laziness and lack of work.
So if you consider the new building for Apple and the space that they've got in that for people to focus in, or if you think about the pods that different companies use, like Google, where people can go into a pod to meditate for a while.
Yeah.
I think there are areas where people do accept the fact that if you're not sat at a desk with your head in a computer, you are still working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to go and walk around the block and to consider ideas and things may be more productive than being sat at a computer.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's getting people to see that, realise that and understand it.
Yeah, and a lot of people, I mean, there's a lot of work done now, isn't there? And companies do realise, in the UK as well, that the environment that people work in is really important to productivity.
Yeah.
And how they enjoy work, and how obviously if you enjoy work, you're going to do better.
Yeah.
At that place. So maybe we're moving in the right direction, I think, aren't we? Folks might not know, we're sat in a shed right now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Inside an office building, Pacific Road, which has been purpose put together for companies to work in.
Yeah. So we're like in a garden shed, which is a sexy garden shed. It's got its own skylights.
Skylights, fully electrified, got Wi-Fi coming in. Has it got Ethernet ports? I would need them if I had this shed. I would be requesting Ethernet so I can plug straight in. But it's a cool space to work, isn't it? And then obviously, you're enclosed here, but you can open the door and there's people working out there in a more open environment. There's a cafe downstairs, so you can go and have a chat for a little bit. So yeah, there is this realisation and move towards different ways of working on it.
I think that the other thing I see quite a lot is people now working from home.
Mm.
Which can be good in one sense, but then you have to create the space for you to work in at home.
Yeah.
Because it has to be different to living space. You have to have another kind of framework to be in.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, different things for different folks, isn't it, really? I worked at home from home for 5 years. And I don't know if enjoyed it is the right word. I was fine doing it. I wasn't, you know, in the winter it'd be a bit weird because it'd be like periods of 2 or 3 days when I wouldn't go out because Bethan would get stuff on her way back in shops and all that. But I much prefer it now. getting out into an office with guys that I can have a chat with and all that. But yeah, in terms of concentration and moving it on a bit, if we move it to that idea of not being able to concentrate, there's a couple of articles I'll stick in.
Maybe the combinations are, you start off with looking at the psychological stuff, you know, is it that there's an emotional issue or something going on?
Yeah.
Then you start to move on to the physical issues of what's going on inside my system.
Yeah.
So you, on this list you put...
Okay, yeah. So this was an article which has got 10 reasons why you can't focus. So top of the list was sleep deprivation.
Loads and loads of research on that. We know now that if you don't sleep enough or you sleep too much, then it wrecks your brain chemistry.
Wow.
And that's going to create memory problems, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And also the ability to have that kind of agility of mind.
Oh, you get enough sleep. Important, yeah. I mean, that's one of the things. I'm doing this vegetarian thing and I think I feel more alert. But I'm not sure if it's because I'm getting more sleep, because my lads are in a decent phase of where they're both sleeping through.
You do find when you kick meat out of your diet, particularly, because it takes so much energy to digest the meat, that you do feel better.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel better. Do I look better?
You look amazing.
Great answer. So, yeah, check your sleep, Angela, and everyone listening. Second one is, well, it says alcohol or drug abuse, but any kind of use of alcohol or recreational drugs.
But even prescribed drugs.
Prescription or otherwise.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to have an effect on your old noggin, aren't they, and how you...
Yeah, on your brain chemistry.
Yeah.
And the classic for me is someone on antidepressants whose their mind's gone or their brain's gone to the point where they say to me, that's it, I'm getting Alzheimer's, I keep going to the top of the stairs, I can't remember why I came.
Hmm.
Yeah, and that's a classic, because the chemistry, the encoding's gone, so that the recall is broken.
I do that a lot, mate, because I'm constantly legging it up downstairs, getting clothes and for the boys and things they've forgotten, stuff for school.
Mm-hmm.
Quite often I'll run upstairs to get something in particular, spot something else that I needed to get ready, get that, go back downstairs and then realise that I didn't get the original thing. So I have serious issues there. The next couple, maybe we need to pull in some female advice here, but we don't know how old Angela is, didn't give that away in the email, but hormonal changes and menopause even could be a factor here, eh?
Yeah.
How much do you know about that?
It's real. We know about people can have premenstrual tension, postmenstrual tension or middle cycle tension. Where the chemistry may become disturbed. Menopause can be a much bigger change. But the thing that people don't realise and is real is that men are in a monthly cycle as well. If you get a man to log down the strength of his beard growth and the level of his libido, that kind of stuff, his energy levels,
and you
get them to do it on a daily basis, it starts to slot into a monthly cycle.
Ooh, okay.
And you start to see that we're all living in that kind of world, but for the male it is not as extreme.
Mm.
Yeah. But yes, hormones really can be as powerful as drugs. I mean, a hormone can be like taking cocaine.
Yeah.
You know, and it does have a profound effect on your system. And sometimes I think that men ought to take LSD just so they can tell what it's like to be out of control.
Yeah, okay. I'm intrigued. We should do it. We should do an episode.
On LSD, yeah.
Yeah. In a shed.
Yeah, and then the police will come knocking on the door going, hey, yeah.
And we've got some more serious issues on the go here, but stroke?
Yeah. We see stroke as a big one, but there's also things called TIAs, trans ischemic attack, which is like a little
stroke. So how many can strokes be?
It can be as simple as... If someone's having TIAs, that you suddenly feel like someone's banged you on the head. You get a flash of light, and maybe for the next 48 hours, your memory's a bit dodgy.
Right.
You're not quite there, and then it comes back again.
But
it can be as simple as that.
You can crack on with your life as normal.
But that's a TIA.
Is that just something that can happen at any time, or is it from a fall, or a bump, or a...
No, it's usually where you've got some clogging up in the bloodstream. So there's either going to be little clots, or...
Which comes back to diet...
And exercise,
what you're putting in your mouth and going through your system.
Yep.
Having a good think about that. Okay.
Yeah.
Thyroid problems.
Yeah, big one. Thyroid, if you haven't got enough thyroid or thyroxine in your system, you get skinny and uptight and agitated. And if you've got too much, you get lethargic and you start to put on loads of weight.
Yep.
Yeah.
What's the fix for that then?
You usually have to either take thyroxin as a chemical in your system to balance it up, or sometimes, and this is the bit that I don't like, all this kind of stuff, they go in and they'll hack your thyroid out, mm-hmm. or part of it. Wow. They might do a partial. Yoga was used a lot with thyroid issues, because people don't realise this. People see yoga as sort of head down, bums up, stretching muscles and tendons and stuff. But yoga is fundamentally about the endocrine system. So when you do a shoulder stand, the candle pose, you're actually compressing your thyroid. That's what you do, that's why you're doing it. So you're actually massaging the thyroid. And there is quite a lot of work in the Ayurvedic world with both thyroids and with diabetes, with the pancreas, that has some amazing results, actually.
Interesting. Okay, and then we got anemia, which is blood.
Yeah,
blood,
your red blood cell count is down, which means that because the red blood cells are transporting the oxygen to the muscles and everything else, you start to get lethargic, and you can get twitchy and all kinds of stuff.
What's the fix for if you are a bit anemic?
Iron. Which, you have to take iron supplements.
You don't have to eat a lump of steak.
Yes, well, you know, eat lots of greens.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, your iron levels are low. Mm-hmm. If you've got pernicious anemia, you can only get over that by having B injections, vitamin B injections.
Right, okay.
Yeah, which is quite tough. There's another side of the blood system too, which is the hemochromatosis, where you're producing too many red blood cells, so that your blood becomes a bit more like sludge.
A bit gloopy.
Moving around the system. And to solve that problem, because that can make you lethargic as well, they bleed you. Mm-hmm. And take the blood off, so you might be might need to be bled several pints a month.
So it'll refresh itself and thin itself down.
Yeah, and very often it will right itself after a while, but you do get that period of time where you're just producing too many red blood cells.
So a blood test, which I'm going to be getting in a few weeks, is a good idea for a lot of folks anyway, do you think? Or
We can tell loads about your blood. Mm. From simple things like the viscosity of your blood will tell us how much water you're drinking or not.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. So the density of it, but also obviously the hormone balances are all in there.
Cool.
So yeah, I mean, it is good.
Yeah, there will be a fix for Angela, I'm just thinking. It's chemistry, isn't it? There's all these hormones and chemicals and nutrients that were all flowing around our body all the time. We can get out of balance quite easily, can't it?
The kind of things that we don't know is, has she always been like this? And as you said, you don't know what age she is, so we don't know what's happening for her. But also, it isn't just physiologically, it's the emotional stuff.
Yeah.
When people go through bereavements or divorces or losses, same thing happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A couple more. Head injury is one. I've got a pal who had a nasty head injury. He was mucking around in his loft, getting something out of his loft, and got up too quick and whacked his head on a beam. I haven't seen him in a bit actually, but he's still suffering from it. And it was a couple of years ago. He gave it such a whack. Mm. He's kind of got, I don't know if it's vertigo as well and all sorts of things.
Yeah, it would depend on where he hit it.
So head injury, I mean, again, we don't know if that could be an issue, but that can...
Any kind of acquired brain injury, acquired head injury from accidents or operations even,
mm-hmm.
Can have that kind of effect.
And the last one is the big one, which we don't want to freak anyone out here, but dementia.
Dementia.
Can strike, can't it? Obviously more later in life, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, whether you've got vascular dementia, where the blood system is shutting down, so that you get bits of your brain start to necrotize or die, mm-hmm. Or whether you have standard dementia or you have Alzheimer's, they're all going to be affecting the way that your neural functions are going on.
They can come on, or they do come on quite slowly.
It does depend completely. And one of the other things is that we assume that dementing problems are the province of the old age, and probably most people above 80 or 85 have got some level where they've lost the edge. Not everybody, but most, I guess.
Yeah.
But you can get people in there. I've had people with dementia in their 30s I've been working with.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Man, that's worrying, it? Oh, it'd be super scary, that.
But again, in the sense of you are what you eat, you're talking about vegetarianism. The thing you were reading out to me earlier, which we probably need to do, a podcast on,
yep.
which is about this drive that suddenly appeared in the UK where they want all the manufacturers to reduce all the ready meals by 20% of calories.
Calories, yeah. Yeah, just this morning it's all over the news.
Yeah.
We'll see some big public health push on it.
But it, for me, it's not just the calories, although the calories are important because there are too many people that are overweight. But it's the issue of the additives that go into creating the processed food. That's the biggest one.
Mm-hmm.
And those things can really mess up your hormonal system and your cardiovascular system.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, so, sure. Yeah, yeah, no, I was frustrated when I... Because I'm obviously Mr. Cycling, commuter cyclist, and I did a search for the new BBC News article for words exercise for a start, and then walking and cycling to see if this huge, this long, important article about how we should be getting fitter mentioned anything about exercise. Not one mention. It was all cutting calories, and it's like you can actually have as many calories as you yeah. want, assuming you're going to burn them all off, right?
Yeah,
I know there's
yeah.
obviously chemicals and stuff.
No, that's what I was going to say. You said that, didn't you? It's like, okay, you're eating a lot of calories, but if you're using those calories, it's different.
Yeah, if you want to look like Christian Bale in The Dark Knight, you've got to eat pizzas all day long, but go to the gym for 6 hours as well.
Yeah. I was talking to Ryan, my nephew, who's going to become a personal trainer, he's going through at the moment.
Mm.
And he's gone from being quite skinny to being a hunk.
Oh, right.
And he was talking about how he's done it. But the amount of chicken breasts he eats, he must be denuding the south of England or the north of England. Chicken breasts.
It's frustrating that, but that's another issue for another time.
Yeah.
And we move things on then from that those issues to concentration. I want to talk for the last section of this show about focus. Because I'm thinking there's a chance here that Angela and other people listening, if they're not fully engaged with life and concentrating on things all the time, there's a decent chance, I think, that maybe they're not heading in the right direction in terms of their life goals, their passions in life.
Yeah.
Could it be a sign that, she's not fully hooked into what she's doing?
Yeah, if you're not enjoying where you are, then your mind's going to wander anyway.
Yeah.
That's true. I think one of the other things, and it's something that we have with you, is the issue about you always say to me, I will meditate one day.
I've given up saying I will now, I think.
There are some people that meditation works for dead easy, and there are other people that you have to use different kinds of things. Like cycling for you could actually be quite meditative. It's if you get into the rhythm of cycling, if you get into the rhythm of the running. And very often, Angela was saying that she had problems using Headspace because she couldn't focus and her mind would wander. And the kind of meditation that Headspace offers, which is more of a kind of a breath focus based, or you've got Andy talking to you, is like there are other ways of doing it. So using sound meditations with mantra, using mandala meditations where you're actually focusing on a dial design, things like that. It's more like an active process.
Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to get at is that focus and concentration is easy if it's something you want to be focusing and concentrating on, if it's something you want to be spending your time on. So for me, meditation, when I've tried, I've done exactly what Angela did the few times I've tried it, my mind starts drifting, and I know I haven't practiced enough. So I find that release elsewhere, riding to work, but riding to work's not about a lack of awareness for me. I like the focus of cycling because you're making these constant decisions on where your tyre needs to be, little bumps, obviously looking for cars. I had an incident this morning where a female driver had a real lack of awareness of her surroundings and very nearly destroyed me, took me out.
So why did you need to say female driver?
Interesting. Interesting. I might edit that out, actually. I've had plenty of run-ins with male drivers as well, usually taxi drivers and guys in vans. Luckily I was fully engaged in watching and seeing what was going on. I stared at this lady for probably 5-6 seconds as she was approaching the roundabout junction as I was cruising round, and she wasn't seeing me at all.
Now, the thing is...
So there's no concentration?
But if you'd done what I suggested, which was the air horn, you would have blown her head off with the air horn, and then she would have known you were
there. Yeah, well, she nearly blew my head off, but I'm very forgiving, so... she drove off anyway, so...
I'm going to buy you an air horn for your birthday.
Okay, yeah, go for it. That would be quite cool, actually. I would love to see some people jumping out of their skins. Wake them up.
Yeah, no, it does.
I'd be giving them the gift of awareness.
Yeah, yeah.
I am here.
Yeah. And you are here now, because people drive along, don't they? They're in their own little world. Yeah. They're barreling down with 1.5 tons of metal.
Yeah.
Unaware of vulnerable road users.
But we know, don't we? I mean, there's a guy I was saying earlier on. There's a guy who works in one of the places that I cover, Rob, and he had came off a bike, similar kind of stuff going on. And he's fractured 2 vertebrae, and he's in a body brace that he'll be wearing for the next 12 weeks, which would they try and stabilise his spine.
Yeah. Hopefully he'll be back on a bike soon enough. I'm sure he'll be raring to go and wanting to get
out. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. It always comes back to cycling, doesn't it? So I'm going to put a link in there to a Fast Company blog about 8 ways to improve your focus, about goal setting, that kind of thing.
Good.
I think it's probably an important thing to share as well. Anything else? Or have you got a resource?
Well, my resource is a little website that you can go to that talks about Ayurvedic medicine.
BanyanBotanicals.com. Yeah. Okay.
And I'm not flying a flag for them. I haven't got a clue who they are. But the article is about different kinds of Ayurvedic chemicals that you'd use to help you with your mind and your memory and your concentration.
Cool.
And they're ones that I would have used when I was involved in the Ayurvedic world. Particularly, there's one called ashwagandha, which is the equivalent of Chinese kind of ginseng.
Right, okay.
Yeah. That kind of thing. But has a very powerful effect on your system. And if I was feeling really kind of fatigued and I really couldn't get my act together, ashwagandha is where I'd go.
Okay.
And it does kind of wicked your mind up.
Wow, okay. Good, yeah. Worth investigating. Right, we'll stick the link in there. Mine is a movie, As Good As It Gets, Jack Nicholson. I just remembered it this morning because I was thinking about repetitive behaviour, and we haven't really come onto that side in the show, but Jack Nicholson plays a character who is OCD about stuff, so he has to switch lights on and off 6 times before he leaves the room.
Yeah.
Won't step on pavements which are cracked, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think he won an Oscar for it. I think Helen Hunt, the lady in it, won an Oscar too. Great movie from the late 90s, well worth watching him. How he overcomes that, really.
Mm.
Good laugh.
Yeah. But overall, I'm biased because I do psychotherapy, but if you find that either you can't focus on what you need to focus on, or you're obsessive about things, so you keep thinking about the same thing over and over again, then go for therapy. Go and talk to somebody.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, good one.
Hopefully that's decent, man. Yeah, if we have got any other listeners out there that want to send us a letter or email, the letter was massively appreciated.
Yeah, thank you, Sophia.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
Super.
I hope you're enjoying your drive to work this morning.
Yeah, and you're fully focused on the road.
Yeah, and don't run any cyclists over.
Do drop us an email. Check out the website, livingthepresent.co.uk, and get in touch. All the social media stuff, we're on there too. And we'll be back next week with another cracking show.
Woo, we will.
Take care, Sean.
Take care. Bye.
See you.